Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Great to be with you. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Let's do a little stock up, stock down for the Texans yesterday. They beat the Bears 19-13, 2-0 to start the season. Plenty to clean up, and we'll get to that in this segment. We will do Acknowledge Me a little later on in this long segment that we've got here. So if you're in your car, get comfy. We're going to be with you here for a little while. And we're excited, man. Texans 2-0, the rest of the division 0-2. And let's get it going. We'll start with stock up. Nico Collins, number one. Nico Collins last night, another huge game. Two games into the season, two 100-yard games. Circus catches galore. The SportsCenter top 10 is on in the TV in our studio here right now. Nico's juggling one-handed catch was number three on there. Nico, I haven't had a chance to watch every other receiver in the league two games into the season. I have a hard time believing that there is a receiver or many receivers having a better season than Nico Collins. Here was C.J. Stroud following the game last night on his bond with Nico.
Yeah, for sure. I think me and Nico, we've always had a good relationship and always, you know, read each other well on the field, but I think even now, you know, we'll take the next steps, and you can see, you know, Steph getting involved more, Tank getting involved, Dalton, Brev. We're just trying to spread it around, you know, and we have so many dynamic players, so, you know, it's a good problem to have.
8 catches for $135, and I think CJ is kind of alluding to it there, Seth, is that I think what a lot of Texan fans are saying is, okay, this is really cool that Nico's getting all these touches, but where are the other guys?
Where are the other guys? And look, Stephon Diggs was targeted, deep in the second half. One big difference in last night's game, and just going over it this morning and trying to pick up some of the themes that weren't immediately obvious, the Texans were very good against the blitz, passing versus the blitz in the first half. The second half, it was the exact opposite. There, at one point, there were 4 straight incompletions and then a sack when they were passing versus the blitz. So that, when it comes to adjusting during the game and everything else, credit Eberflus and the Bears defense. But those opportunities for Nico, I think part of it is just the relationship that when under pressure, especially, you look at the scramble drill. He is on the same page on an ESP level with CJ Stroud when it comes to the scramble drill. It helps that he's such a big target as well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the catch radius for him is just so much better. Yeah. Right now, Nico Collins is leading the league in receiving yardage. He is tied for 5th in receptions overall, but the yardage is 252 yards. That's 52 yards ahead of Chris Godwin.
And I feel like if you graded his catches the way they grade outfield catches in baseball, like, oh, that was a 4-star catch. That was a 3-star catch. I feel like Nico's got a lot of 4-star catches. You know what I mean? Like, just a lot of ones that are, there's a degree of difficulty to them so far this season. So Nico Collins, stock up. Stock up number two here. We do 4 stock up and 4 stock down. Just the overall swarm, man. They were swarming last night. The nation tuned in for offensive fireworks, and what they got was a heavy dosage of swarm, particularly Caleb Williams. Next Gen Stats had Caleb Williams dropping back, I believe, 48 times in that game, maybe 47. 47 times in the game last night. He was under pressure half of those snaps. Mm-hmm. 23 of those snaps, he was under pressure. And there were 36 pressures. You know, when you factor in that it was on some of the snaps, 2 or 3 guys are applying pressure on those.
He's a slippery little devil. He really
got him seven times.
Some of those
too.
Sacks were terrifying, yes. Right? But I'll say this, they put some good licks on him. Yeah, I mean, he's a tough kid. He's not built to withstand that kind of punishment. Well,
especially once he got out of the pocket. I mean, like, right.
Yeah, even the sacks, but some of the, I mean, his interceptions were as brutally painful as a lot of the sacks.
Yep.
I mean, that's where it yielded. It did feel very much like there was, that's why it was so unsatisfying at the very end of the game. It felt like the dam was about to break at some point. And actually, on that long drive where Cam Akers ends up fumbling at the goal line, that did feel like, okay, this is the dam finally beginning to break. Collinsworth was wrong in one regard, though. He acted like, well, the Bears' defense keeps going out here, and they're going to break at some point. At that point, because the Texans' offense hadn't been that good in the second half, both teams, when Collinsworth said that, both teams had run 51 or 52 plays.
Yeah.
Like, it was not like the Bears' defense was out there and they were just going to get beleaguered and tired out or something. I think the Texans did finally really start to feel where the opportunities were. And because Cam Akers fumbles, you couldn't come away with anything.
Yep. So stock up number two is the defense. Stock up number three, I'm going to throw Cade Stover in here. Cade Stover, who got a lot of accolades from his teammates after week one based purely on doing fullback things. I love seeing him get involved. And this is a great play call by Bobby Slowick on fourth and one. I believe this is on the touchdown drive. Fourth and one, and you know, they're in a tight formation where it looks like the Bears are expecting them to just pound the ball. I mean, Joe Mixon just ran for $160 last week. He just pounded up the middle with Joe Mixon. This happened.
Well, everybody bunched in here on fourth down and less than a yard. Stroud to throw, and he passes right side. Stover, 45, 40, right sideline, 35, and pushed out of bounds. What a play to the rookie. His first catch, a big one for a first down.
When you run the football the way the Texans have been the last two games, it opens up a lot.
All right, so that was, and the very next play after that was Tank Dell's end around that he ran for 18 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and watch that play. Stover had a hell of a block on that play, too. He came in motion to the left, and then once they flip the ball to Tank, Cade Stover does a 180 and then starts lead blocking for Tank and drives his guy into the Bears bench area.
Yeah.
Like he.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he drove him right off the field.
Right off the field, man. So I'm going to stick Stover. It's not good enough for an acknowledgement, but I will put him in stock up. Green arrow next to Cade Stover. There's
you'll
degrees.
You'll get there someday, kid.
Yeah, you'll get there. The tribal chief will acknowledge you at some point. Yes.
I think one thing, too, in terms of setting things up, this is where the Bears offense, there's a hodgepodge feel to it at times. Will Anderson's sack was very much a result of the Bears not setting that play up well because they had the tight end coming across to block Will Anderson, which immediately you think, what are you trying to do? It works. If Will Anderson were genuinely concerned about the run, he would have tried to stone that tight end, and it slows him up just enough. Will read it immediately and slipped. I think it was Cole Kmet. Plus, if that was Kmet or whoever it was, I don't want to get the name wrong because boy, he wussed out on that.
Yeah.
He almost like kind of crunched up like he was afraid of Will hitting him.
Yep.
And Will just ran right by him.
Right by him, man. Yeah. Yeah, that was good to see.
So likewise though, in setting that up for Cade Stover to be wide open, that the Bears had committed to the run completely and totally and just whoop, there
great
he goes.
Play call. Just a great play call by Bobby Slowick. Well executed by CJ and Cade Stover and the Texans. Last one on stock up here, and we'll get to the stock downs. We will get to the things we will not ignore in victory. Props to the crowd last night, man. I thought the NRG crowd showed up from the time we were out there doing the pregame show. That was by far, and the night game lends itself to this, but by far the most lively outdoor environment we've had.
And then people streaming in from right at the very beginning of the show. And that's an hour before they're even let in, unless they were letting people in earlier.
I don't think they were.
It was a constant stream of people walking past us.
It was great. Yeah, Will Anderson even talked about it last night after the game.
Man, it was rocking. It was rocking. I had chills when I got out there and I looked up and I've never seen the stadium open, man. And it's just wonderful to see the city come out, man. And that's what we do it for. We do it for the fans, man. Of course, our families and ourselves, but we really want H-Town to mean something, man. We really want the fans to be a part of something great, man. And that's what we're trying to do here.
I just love Will Anderson. I love his energy, man. Guys liked having the stadium open last night. Did you hear from anybody as to how it felt inside the stadium?
They said it was kind of warm.
A little muggy, yeah. but nobody's complaining about it.
We get to sit in air conditioning.
We
so
do. We're
spoiled.
A little soft. Yeah, we're a little soft.
Yeah, I saw and you would see people fanning themselves during the broadcast.
As long as there's no sun. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if it's dark out, you can deal with dark out mugginess. It's when the sun is hitting.
It's when the sun's hitting. And this is the thing, even if you're somebody that wants, the basic fact of the matter is, people are going to be upset whether you leave it open or you close it. The difference is the people who are upset with it open, when it's open, they're more likely to have suffered heat stroke during the game. So
yes.
I feel like their voice is louder. You know, there's that. And during the day games, it makes for a crappy TV broadcast because you get that. We saw that with God's shaft of sunlight there the other day with a missing panel.
Yep.
You get that situation like the old Texas Stadium where you can't see what's going on because the cameras can't adjust from the light to the dark.
Let's get to the stock downs before we get to acknowledge me here in a second. First stock down, the penalties. It was, you got to clean this up. This is not going to work against some of these better quarterbacks that you've got on the schedule. 12 penalties, 115 yards, and it's not just the sheer volume of penalties, Seth, because there were a couple Laramie false starts in there, you know, that which has become, unfortunately, just the usual for any given week. But the situationally, when they were happening, Kalen Bullock with a pass interference on 3rd and 13 to set up the only touchdown of the game for the Bears. Chris Boyd with two holds on special teams, including one nullifying a really long return that would have changed field position by Steven Sims. Mm-hmm. If you're Chris Boyd, you're on the team for special teams. You can't be holding on special teams. Henry Toa had a hold on the first Kamari Lassiter interception. Ultimately, it didn't hurt them. They got off the field, but it could have.
Laramie Tunsil false start where it didn't hurt him, but because Kaimi Fairbairn can boot a 59-yarder.
That's
but
right.
This is, Laramie Tunsil's false starts, half of them happen in crucial situations or they're drive killers.
Yep.
They're on third down. They're in two-minute drives. They're turning a field goal into a longer field goal. Yeah.
Mario Edwards, a rough in the pass run, 3rd and 13.
Bogus.
Led to the field goal that made it a one-score game.
Yeah.
Like, they needed penalties on 3rd and 13 to get 10 of their points in this game. And the very last one, Titus Howard hands to the face on what would have been the game-clinching play by CJ on a scramble.
Some of those are somewhat excusable, but I think that Kalen Bullock's was just, I mean, there was no reason.
Could have made a play on the ball.
Yeah. That was just a weird one.
Ran through the guy.
And that yielded points for the Bears. And then Henry Toa, who's been playing great. And I'm very really excited about Henry Toa. That was a blatant defensive holding that negated an interception.
Yeah.
You know, like, that didn't cost them points, but that was those key and critical ones are some of these things that you add to the stockpile of things that are keeping the overall effort from being reflected on the scoreboard.
Agreed. The other stock downs, Cam Akers. Cam Akers, who looked good when he was in there, man. Like, he looked, okay, this is why you got Cam Akers. He's a veteran guy who can run this system. Joe Mixon, we don't know what the deal is with Joe Mixon's ankle. We haven't mentioned that on the show today, but
that he re-entered the game. Hopefully he just tweaked it somehow.
I hope so, but you know those ankles the day after. Like, they can hear the adrenaline and whatnot.
They probably took it. People always ask about injections. A lot of times, usually what happens with an ankle is they just tape the hell out of it. And so it's even hard to tell whether Joe Mixon was running gingerly or if he had such a heavy tape job that it was hard for him to have any ankle function.
That'll be a big question for DeMeco at his press conference today. But Cam Akers, who looked good, but then, man, you can't fumble inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
Can't do that, man.
I got somebody, it was weird, like somebody oddly like angry and aggressive at me yesterday, like came at me about Cam Akers versus Dameon Pierce. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to get into this debate right now, but Dameon Pierce had some pretty, a couple bad turnovers at the goal line 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, like, let's not act like that's the dividing line between those two.
No.
I thought that Cam Akers, if he could not fumble and take points off the board, otherwise it was very promising to see what he did.
Yeah. I feel like Cam was doing enough where we might see a little more of him in the future, even when Damian's healthy. Damian, for those who don't remember, he was inactive last night with a hamstring. I'm doing stock down on Tank Dell only because statistically he's down, and he had the one play, as you pointed out earlier, that's a play I think Tank Dell normally makes, that crossing route that CJ hit him in the hands.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a game changer in the second half of this football game.
Yeah, that was. I mean, if he'd been able to, I don't know if he would have been able to keep his feet after that catch or not.
But it would have been a big chunk play in the game for sure. You know, in a game.
Yeah, they ended up punting.
Yeah,
I mean that was a
third and four.
That was the play after Joe Mixon got injured.
Yeah,
that's when it felt. That it felt, especially in hindsight, when the Texans punted.
Yeah.
Field goal, punted. Whatever the sequence was, there were a lot of punts in the second half.
Yeah, Tom, actually, we should probably give Tommy Townsend a little thumbs up, too. He was good. Tommy Townsend.
Okay.
What?
He had a couple. I mean, he punted it to the 50 that one time.
He had some good ones.
Yeah, he did. He pinned him down.
I'm not acknowledging him, and I'm not putting him in the stock up, but I thought he was okay overall. I thought he had that one long one that pins him.
Yeah.
Completely swung the field.
At this point, when it comes to trust, he's at the opposite end of the spectrum from Kyahmi Fairbairn.
Okay, well, of Kyahmi Fairbairn. Fairbairn might be the most trusted Houstonian right now.
Mm.
He
could run for mayor.
Yeah, he could.
Where he would rapidly be despised. No matter which party he ran under or anything else. Like, yeah,
put him in office, yeah.
Mayor's rough, man.
Last one, stock down, the offensive line. And you pointed this out earlier, particularly the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah, it's been annoying. They're really bad at picking up simple games by the defensive tackles. The guard doesn't have anybody in front of him. He's like, it's all clear here. I'm going to go try to take out the kidneys of the guy that the offensive tackle, and then burp, there you go. Defensive tackle for a sack.
Yeah.
They gotta clean that stuff up. I'll credit Eberflus with, let's see, at least one of the sacks and a couple of the pressures. They were really well-timed late blitzes it was good play calling, good execution. And the Bears defense, to their credit, they do a lot of the things that other teams would do when they're trying to be clever, but the Bears just do it and do it really well without thinking about it. Disguising, playing different positions, all those things that can really screw up a lot of defenses. The Bears do a really good job at it. And you could see CJ some of the hesitancy. You know, there were a couple times they fooled him. CJ got lucky on not having an interception on the one that was still weirdly reviewed. That is a very good defense.
It is. Yeah, I think ultimately that's going to be one of the really good defenses in the league. I'm not super worried about the punt in the second half. They had games like that last year too. So we'll see where it goes. Minnesota this week in Minnesota. Texans an early 3-point favorite in Minnesota. So Minnesota, a little disrespected for a team that's 2-0 and just beat the 49ers right now.
They're going to have to play in a dome and all that. And
underdog on their home field.
I'll tell you what. I think Malik Willis putting it on. Malik Willis putting it on the Colts and other upsets in the league yesterday. Maybe has people resetting things a little bit.
We'll see. So, we'll talk about this. 7:45. We'll go through the 2-0s and the 0-2s and which ones are most intriguing early on here in the season.
I'm upset that the Colts allowed so much on the ground to the Packers.
Dude. I was upset it was happening like 3 hours before the Texans game because I was like, I'm pumped for Mixon to go get him again. Like, oh.
Yeah, man. And then when the Texans can't run the ball nearly as well as they did last week,
we're back to square one.
I'll tell you the other thing, too, man. Those Bears linebackers, those are not podcasting linebackers
the way the Colts have.
These little podcasting divas out there that talk a big game and then get just absolutely manhandled. Bears linebackers are something different.
Yes. They're not into content generation. They're into
tackle generation.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Lacking the other team. Yeah. All right, let's get to acknowledge me. We're going to acknowledge some big performances. We've got a few Texans in here. We've got some baseball in here. We've got some college football in here. We acknowledge from over the weekend big performances, remarkable things, noteworthy things. But let's stick with the Texans here. Kaimi Fairbairn.
Acknowledge me.
This is right before the half. After a Laremy Tunsil false start, sets up what would have been a 54-yard field goal, becomes a 59-yard field goal. Here's what it sounded like.
So we're going to see a 59-yard attempt here for Fairbairn.
I might come out of the booth if he knocks this baby through.
He's 2 for 2 tonight.
This is crazy.
This will be his longest of the season if he makes it. Right hash mark, south end zone, uprights. John Weeks with the snap. Tommy Townsend with the hold. Here's the snap. Here's the spot. Here's the kick by Fairbairn. He's got a lot of distance, and it's good. Fairbairn makes it 59 yards.
Wow.
And the Texans have a six-point lead.
That's a great call by Vandy. It's good.
I was, Vandy. Acknowledge Vandy as well.
Mark Vandermeer. Yeah.
Acknowledge
I was
me.
Able to, yesterday, I was able to get in the elevator right before the two-minute warning because they shut it down so they can, the coordinators, everybody, this is the way the game day works. All the people that are up in the booth, all the staff, immediately at the end of the half, they sprint to the elevator, they go down the elevator, then they sprint into the locker rooms. So nobody's allowed to use the elevators. So you got to try to catch the elevator because I had to go over to KHOU to do the post game. So I got to listen to Vandy the entire 2 minutes on the drive to KHOU, and it's a delight. It's an absolute delight.
He's had a hell of a season. I'm glad you acknowledged him. He's had a hell of a season. Here was D'Amico Ryans on how important Kaimi Fairbairn's been to this team.
Yeah, nobody talks about it enough. Amy is the reason why we've won these 2 games, right? That's been the player of the game. For him to hit, I mean, I don't know how many, 50-yard field goals, like, I don't think that's been done before. So it's very special for Amy. Like, he's been consistent, he's on it, and he's the reason, like, why we're standing here, right? We talk a lot about offense, defense, but the kicking game is the reason why we won this game today.
That's not an exaggeration. They don't win these 2 games without Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah.
He might be the most valuable player on this team right now.
Close game. I mean, like, if you get persnickety about it, you could say that a lot about in one-win games. There's various guys. But his has been the most, like, glaringly clutch performance because he's had to, these are tough situations that, I've never seen as much gushing praise for a kicker, even the good ones, I think. I think people just... He's got a deserved reputation.
7 field goals and 6 of them are more than 50 or 50 yards or more on 6 of them.
I don't like calling him Emi because I feel like, listen, he's already shortened his name for us by calling himself Kaimi.
Big time.
Like, listen, Haoli. All right, you got to shorten it even more for you.
Dude,
all right.
It's super short.
Is it Haoli? How do you pronounce the Hawaiian word for no, I think it's Haoli.
I don't know. Yeah. All right, let's get to Henry Toa Toa.
Acknowledge me!
Been really good these first couple games.
Yeah.
He's been really good. When you get Christian Harris back, now you got a little depth going on with Toa Toa, Christian Harris, and Azeez Al-Shaarawy.
Man, I'll tell you what. At the beginning of camp, I was watching Toa Toa, and you remember I was talking to you about it. I thought, like, I didn't think in the first couple weeks of camp that he looked as athletic as the other guys out there.
Yep.
And then, kind of like how it happened with Christian Harris last year, once he started getting really comfortable during camp, all of a sudden, I'm watching him, and it was one of those I kind of double-taked a couple times. I was like, wait, was that Toa Toa?
Yeah.
Was that Toa Toa? And now on the field, I'm doing the same thing.
Yes.
He is a missile at times. Like, he has really, I think, just gotten comfortable in the scheme, and he's just letting it go, man. It's really cool to watch.
He's a productive football player for this team. That's been really good to see. One more Texan. Kamari Lassiter.
Acknowledge me.
Got his first career INT last night. Here's what it sounded like.
Second down and 15 from the Chicago 25-yard line. Williams in the gun, Swift to his right. 2 receivers each way. Caleb Williams gets the snap. Caleb Williams in trouble. And Danielle Hunter can't get him down. Williams escapes to the right, throws downfield, and intercepted by Lassiter. Runs upfield, 45, and he's out of bounds inside the 45-yard line. The rookie with his first INT.
That was cool. That was on that play. I mean, you heard it. Danielle Hunter had Caleb Williams dead to rights. And while that play's going on, I'm like, oh, so close, because that would have pinned them way back. And then Kamari Lassiter's like, nah, this is better. This is, with turning him over is better than getting a sack down there.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
His ball skills are nice.
His ball skills are nice, and I think the other thing, too, that was relevant last night for a rookie cornerback especially, last night they had Stingley traveling with DJ Moore at times. So at the very beginning of the game, I'm looking and I was trying to figure out if I had like heat exhaustion or something. I'm like, wait a second, why is nobody talking about this? Because Stingley's on the right side, Lassiter is on the left, and early in the game, I thought that Lassiter started off a little bit slow. He didn't look quite so quick to break on things. In hindsight, with the way he played, I think he's probably being careful, didn't want to get, you know, play like a rookie and get duped into things on double moves and whatnot. But for a guy that hadn't taken any snaps in practice, or not many at all, on the left side of the field, hadn't played on the left side in games at all, that's a big adjustment for a rookie, and I thought he did extremely well at it.
He did great. I hope he does to the 40-yard dash what C.J. Stroud did to the S2.
Yeah.
The S2 test is you don't even hear about it anymore. I think the 40-yard dash is going to be a little harder to extinguish. And
the
make 40 extinct.
Is annoying because all these scouts and everybody will tell you, like, nobody cares about the 40 anymore. It's garbage. But then, you know, you get him in conversation, like, he runs a 4.3 40.
Amari Lassiter drops to the 42nd pick overall. Like,
yeah.
He's clearly a good player. So that was good to see. So good job, Kamari Lassiter. All right, we continue to acknowledge. This is going to sound weird out of the chute, but we'll explain. And if you're an Astro fan, you're going to enjoy this. Rafael Devers.
Acknowledge me.
We're acknowledging you because you... Your presence, your ability to whack Gerrit Cole around the yard on the regular made Gerrit Cole do one of the wussiest, wimpiest things that I think we've ever seen a pitcher who has had 250, 300 strikeouts in a season before ever do. I can never remember seeing this. Gerrit Cole walked Rafael Devers in the fourth inning of a game on Saturday with one out and nobody on base. His choice... Gerrit Cole. Now, here's Gerrit Cole about a week ago when he was asked about who is a Latin player. I think it was a special day around baseball, and they asked him who's the Latin player you least like facing.
We're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Media Day. You know, in your career, which is the Latin hitter that most gave you or gives you trouble getting out?
Rafael Devers.
doesn't even hesitate. Here's what it sounded like. Again, he hit Rafael Devers on his first at bat.
Mm-hmm.
He hit him with a pitch, and then in the fourth inning, here's what happened.
Rafi Devers with his big career numbers at Yankee Stadium, his big career numbers against Gerrit Cole.
He's putting him on. He's intentionally walking, and
with
it was
nobody out.
It was Gerrit Cole who put up the four fingers.
Right, with one out, and the bases empty, an intentional walk.
Gerrit Cole put up four fingers and pointed to first base. I want no part of you.
Yeah, that was courtesy of MLB, MLB Network on the call right there.
That organization, it does things to a man.
Yeah,
you know, it's a soft organization as of late. It's a curse of Derek Jeter, I think.
Yeah.
That they don't play well versus good teams. You got your stud high-priced ace pitcher walking Rafael Devers.
That's your you make $36 million a year.
Yeah.
You're paid to at least attack Rafael Devers.
Devers is I like Devers.
Devers,
too. You know, he shows personality at the plate. There's one of those things. That's one of those guys where if the pitcher has a good outing, he acknowledges it, or a good performance in an at bat, he acknowledges it. I like Devers.
The look on his face as he got intentionally walked was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. That was great. All right, let's keep it moving. University of Memphis football.
Acknowledge me!
I just like this that Florida State keeps losing football games. After belly aching over not making the college football playoff last year, Florida State still has not won a football game since then. They're 0-4 since being total crybabies about being left out of the college football playoff.
Start playing that victim card, man.
Yeah,
it's
man.
A slippery slope after that. You start blaming others for everything after you start blaming the college football committee for things.
I say that because Memphis beat them in Tallahassee 20-12. The University of Memphis beat Florida State in Tallahassee.
Oh, Memphis gonna Memphis.
Mike
Right, Wade Smith? Yeah.
Memphis actually a good group of five team. You know, year in, year out, they shouldn't be going into Tallahassee and beating Florida State. But congratulations to Florida. You know what? I'm going to give Florida State a sarcastic acknowledgement here.
Ooh. Acknowledge me!
The first team in FBS to clinch their under on their Vegas season win total.
They clinched it already.
They clinched it already 3 weeks in. Their total was 9.5. They can max out at 9 wins, and they will not max out at 9 wins. One more, a couple more college football. We can squeeze them in here. as we do acknowledge me here on a Monday. Arch Manning!
Acknowledge me!
Quinn Ewers leaves the game on Saturday, the Texas game on Saturday against UTSA with an apparent oblique injury. And Arch Manning comes in, the phenom, son of Cooper Manning, nephew of Eli and Peyton Manning, and goes off. 9 of 12, 223 yards. He averaged almost 20 yards an attempt. 4 touchdowns. And this 67-yard touchdown run in which he broke ankles.
A decent clip, but they hadn't done much on the ground in this game.
Oh, look at Arch Manning. Oh, hit him with the two-step. Arch Manning, touchdown.
Yeah, that was good. Hit him with a little ankle breaker. I love it the announcer there was talking about. They haven't done much on the ground, and Arch Manning's like, oh, yeah, here's 67 yards
for you. So 5 touchdowns in relief.
Yes.
And, Cooper, I mean, it wasn't unknown that Arch had that in his bag.
Right.
I feel like when Arch does stuff like that, Cooper Manning is probably like, yeah, see? I still got that on you. I was a receiver.
Yeah.
You guys, I was a genuine athlete, whereas you guys were known for your non-athleticism.
That'd be great if Eli and Peyton's kids just weren't very good at football and Cooper just starts clowning them all the time.
Turned into the worst kind of uncle.
The worst uncle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. He turns everything into a competition with your kids and
like
everything.
He's like Uncle Junior on The Sopranos. He never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be sweet. Paul Feinbaum thinks that Arch is going to win a Heisman at some point.
Book it. Arch Manning is going to win the Heisman. I am in on that. And by the way, a couple of his granddad and Peyton probably should have won it, and Arch will. Can you imagine? He's replacing a Heisman favorite right now. I don't know if he'll win it this year, but Arch Manning will definitely win the Heisman at Texas.
Be more lording for Cooper to do at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Well,
it wouldn't
be Thanksgiving this year, but you know, perhaps Easter dinner.
They use it as the centerpiece for Easter dinner.
Yeah,
the Heisman Trophy. I like that. One more college football acknowledgement. The Colorado State defense.
Acknowledge.
And I'm not acknowledging them because they held Colorado State to 9 points. There are a lot of teams that can do that. Boy, that Colorado State quarterback, I forget his name. He's got a hyphenated last name. That might have been one of the dumbest quarterbacks I've seen at the collegiate level. Ross Tucker was on that game, the Colorado State game.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be on with us tomorrow at 7 o'clock. I'm going to get one Colorado State, Colorado question in with him. Here's why we're acknowledging the Colorado State defense. Travis Hunter intercepts a pass, returns it deep into Colorado State territory. Travis Hunter, the two-way Heisman Trophy candidate for the Buffs, intercepts a pass, returns it into Colorado State territory, and 4 different Colorado players pick up an unsportsmanlike on the same play because of celebrating. Here's what it sounded like.
The rolling on the field is an interception returned by the defense. After the play, unsportsmanlike conduct, defense, number 12, 7, 99, and 23. It's a 15-yard penalty added to the end of the run. That's the first penalty towards disqualification for all players. First down, Colorado.
We'll have to, by the way, so Colorado's being criticized for padding their stats in the fourth quarter. They kept airing it out.
In the last 2 minutes of the game, they're up by 19.
Ross Tucker called them out. We'll have to play that audio before when he comes in.
Yeah.
It's weird because, look, this is one where Colorado State was talking a lot of smack before the game.
Uh-huh.
This goes back to last year when the coach said that, you know,
game.
We take our hats off indoors, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there was the quarterback was talking smack before the game. So if you can separate neon from everything else, I feel like, all right, if I were a head coach and the opposing team, even though it was ultimately my fault that they're talking that much smack, I might do the same.
Yeah.
I might do the same.
Maybe. One more I want to squeeze in here, and it's going to sound weird. Antonio Brown.
Acknowledge me.
You heard me. That Antonio Brown, whoever runs his Twitter account, had the best take yet on Dylan Raiola, the Mahomes wannabe that quarterbacks for Nebraska. Kid who shaves his hair like Mahomes. His dad played for Nebraska. He's about 40 pounds heavier than Mahomes.
He looks like fat Mahomes.
He looks like Mahomes after like 7 donut binges. There was video that went viral this weekend of Dylan Raiola. It's not just the look. He does the Mahomes pregame ritual where he takes that jog down towards the fans and does the thing where he's like kind of waving the fans on to cheer louder and then does the jump up with the high knees.
Mm-hmm.
It looks exactly like Patrick Mahomes. it's annoying now. And Antonio Brown tweeted that video. He said he's starting to become more annoying than Jackson Mahomes, which is a pretty good out. Jackson Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, very annoying social media influencer brother.
He's one of the two annoying appendages that Pat Mahomes is
married to the other one. Yeah. Dylan Raiola's dad, who was an offensive lineman at Nebraska and in the NFL, needs to talk to him because at this point, Raiola, he's so into being Mahomes. He's like the kid, like when they're 5 or 6 years old and the family's getting ready to go to church and they're like, you need to put your little sport coat and your church shoes on. He's like, no, I'm Superman.
Yeah. And so take his costume off.
Yeah. The parents are like, fine. Yeah. You gotta let Bobby wear his Superman costume to church because he thinks he's Superman. That's Dylan Raiola, except he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's Patrick. Well, fine. Shave your head like Mahomes. Do your little high knee jumps. Ooh.
Yeah, but be your own man. You know, you don't have to be like
he's a good player.
He's like one of Lady Gaga's little monsters or something. That's right. Just be you. Be you, Raiola.
That's it, man. That's it.
You're already the son of an NFL player that has to create his own identity, and now you're adding this to the mix.
Yeah, put on your Patrick Mahomes underoos and go to church, man, or whatever it is. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. Texans win 19-13. We haven't even talked about what went on around the league yesterday. That was one of the wildest Sundays. We are left with some of the strangest 2-0 and 0-2 teams, considering what we were feeling about some of these teams coming into the season. Who are the most intriguing in each of those categories? 2-0, 0-2. I think there's 9 in each of them. We'll get to that coming up. It's Payne and Pendergast on a Reaction Monday, a victorious reaction.
Victorious.
The best kind of reaction Monday.
Well, we would sing.
Victorious and sleep deprived.
We would sing, except you guys had to endure that rendition of the Sunday Night Football song by the Houston Texans players last night on the broadcast.
You weren't fond of that bit of content from the team?
I'm a fan of bad singing, but it was too much bad singing.
A lot of guys bad singing.
Yeah. So it wasn't. I like that they did it. I don't think that, as Collinsworth was insisting to Tirico that they should do it every week, and Tirico was like, shut up, old man. Tirico basically said that. He said, shut up, old man. You're daft. I'm tired of carrying your bony ass. Collinsworth at one point during the broadcast, Sean, said that I've played every single position in football, but punt returner is the hardest. And everybody across the nation was looking at themselves.
What?
Like, what is he talking? He has not played nose tackle. Like, what are you talking about?
Doesn't count when you're playing like your Thanksgiving playground game.
All right.
So here we are on Monday morning. By the way, Monday Night Football tonight. There's still one more game to go this weekend. The Eagles are in Atlanta to take on the Falcons. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, Seth, there are 9 2-0 teams and 9 0-2 teams in the NFL right now. The most I'm going to rattle them off right here. If you're in your car, sit tight. I'm going to do this quickly. And when I rattle off these teams, you tell me of these 9 2-0 teams, which one is the most intriguing to you for whatever reason, good or bad, most intriguing to you. Here are the 9 2-0 teams. Buffalo, the Chargers, Chiefs, Pittsburgh, the Texans.
Okay, we got to exempt them. Yeah.
Yep, they're exempt. Seattle.
I know.
Minnesota.
Imminent.
That's right, this weekend. New Orleans.
Ooh, Kubiak involved.
And two blowouts, by the way, by the Saints. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had one of the biggest upset wins yesterday going into Detroit.
Man, there are some intriguing 2-0 teams.
There really are, yeah.
There's juice to every single one of them. Minnesota, most imminently, obviously, because the Texans play them. Pittsburgh and their ability to... They would be intriguing, except I don't think they can sustain... I think they'll sustain it in a Mike Tomlin fashion.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
That's right.
And yet not actually be capable of doing anything with it. Mike Tomlin will take what they have there and with TJ Watt and the rest of them turn it into something. Man, this is hard. I might have to say New Orleans.
Pittsburgh's 2-0 and has scored one touchdown this year.
Yeah.
Now New Orleans is 2-0 and they've scored 58 touchdowns this year.
It was a boat race. So this is the thing. This is the thing that's so intriguing about
it's New Orleans for me too. So I can't wait to hear you talk about
this. So Clint Kubiak is the offensive coordinator. Now Mike Zimmer, the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, was brought in partly or specifically because he's been good versus Kubiak Shanahan style systems.
Yeah.
You know, that's been a huge part of the allure of bringing him in there because the Cowboys get destroyed by Shanahan systems. Mm-hmm. And then Zimmer. I mean, Sean, I'm looking at, I had to catch up. I was down at Bayway for their car show yesterday, so yeah. I wasn't able to watch. I got up into the press box finally, and I'm sitting, I'm looking at the score of the Cowboys game, and I'm like, well, at that point, New Orleans actually only had like 250 yards of offense, but the score was so lopsided. So I go to the drive chart, and the reason was that they didn't have a single wasted snap.
No, no.
Every yard they got was in an effort towards a touchdown.
Yes.
The drive chart is touchdown, 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 touchdown. Yeah. My God.
Yeah, yeah. Derek Carr averaged 15 yards per attempt.
It was nuts.
He's 11 of 16 for well over 200 yards.
Oh, my gosh. That was pathetic.
Yeah, it was something else. It's interesting. The Texans play the Vikings next week, so 2-0 versus 2-0. The Steelers play the Chargers next week, 2-0 versus 2-0. So one of or two of Chargers, Steelers, Texans, Vikings are going to be 3-0 next week. I think out of all those teams, the Texans are by far the one that before the season you would have said, oh yeah, I could see that for sure. Like the Texans don't even really belong in that same bucket with those teams, and you go, wow, they're 3-0. The Texans,
the ones that are going to play each other,
that
next
are all
week.
Going to play each other. Yeah, like the Chargers being 3-0, nobody would have predicted that. Steelers, maybe.
The Chargers, honestly, I have great respect for Harbaugh as a coach.
Okay.
And honestly, there's something to be said just for when you've got a good quarterback and you run a tight ship, and you do, especially early in the season.
Yeah.
I think Harbaugh probably.
One of the games is against Carolina.
I think Harbaugh, I didn't check on them during training camp that much, but I'm guessing they ran more of a traditional preseason where they do, you don't see all this rustiness that you see out of all the other offenses.
Minnesota would have been the one out of all those we least would have expected.
Yeah, I think so, especially.
Especially considering the Niners were one of the two opponents.
Yeah, and whether McCarthy got injured or not,
right.
I don't think. Buffalo's the one that I think Josh Allen has looked like what they would have hoped he looked like.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the first game. I thought there was a little bit of heroism by Josh Allen. The second game, it was more of a complete offensive effort, but driven by Josh Allen.
The most worrisome as a Texans fan of all those teams being 2-0 to me.
Yeah.
And I probably should say Minnesota because that's their opponent this week. But I'm not D'Amico Ryans or a player, so I can pick whichever one I want. Is Buffalo. Because I thought Buffalo would take a step back this year. Buffalo is in that sort of same tier as the Texans. They, other than the first quarter and a half against Arizona, they've been dominant this year.
I guess, you know, and it's weird. I think the Chiefs, you almost set off to the side and think, all right,
that's
whatever.
Exactly why
they're going to be there in the postseason, and they're going to be a headache in the postseason.
And they could easily be 0-2 right now.
I didn't see anybody think, like, oh, Hollywood Brown is out. Huh, now you're, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we only have a couple minutes before we hand it off to John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. Here are the 0-2 teams. You tell me which of these 0-2 teams are the most intriguing to you. Carolina, Rams, Giants, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals.
I know.
Baltimore Ravens, Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars, Indianapolis Colts, all three AFC South teams.
Baltimore
and the Texans.
Cincinnati for me is just because, look, they put up a really good fight. They had the lead for most of the game.
They got screwed. That pass interference call.
I still haven't seen it.
It's
it was bad. It was dicey, huh?
It was marginal.
It was a classic, like, swallow your whistle on that play.
On 4th and 16. I mean, they kept the game going,
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to go by the one in which I take the most delight, and it's a tie between Indianapolis and Carolina.
Okay.
Bryce Young is getting dumber by the minute. He's almost as dumb as Will Levis now. Bryce Young and Will Levis are the dumbest quarterbacks in the league. They are just morons. Absolute morons.
Bryce's numbers yesterday. They were crazy bad, his numbers yesterday. I got to look it up.
And yet, I don't have any ill will towards him personally. He's a dumb football player. I'm going to say Indianapolis I'm most intrigued by. Just the fact that their podcasting linebackers are part of one of the worst run defenses in the league right now.
Well, and everybody's been loving on Anthony Richardson, and the fact of the matter is he's had three good plays.
He hasn't cracked what I don't even ironically call the 50% completion barrier yet. He hasn't passed for over 50% in a game in 2024.
Yep. Bryce Young, 18 of 26 for 84 yards yesterday.
Oh.
84 yards passing for Bryce Young. All right, we are done. We are out of time. We got to hand it over to to the Texans All Access crew for Texans Monday. John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies.
All right, we're done.
Why are you
out of
pointing
time.
At me?
Well, I'm just pointing at you. Yeah. No, I know I'm up here. But
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.